بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 10th of July in the year 2020 الحمد لله we moved on to the second night that we're going through the life of our beloved and exalted mother Sayyida Juwayriya And I've reached a point in somebody to mention that our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he strikes against the Banu al-Mustalik. And there was three reasons that he did this. The first was that the Banu al-Mustalik had allied themselves to the unbelieving Quraysh. The second is that the Muslims had to pass through their vicinity to get to Makkah. And thirdly, the chief of Banu al-Mustalik was mobilizing forces to attack al-Madina. So our beloved messenger, he struck first, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I mentioned that it was excellently executed. They were totally unaware when the Prophet approached, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I mentioned that there was 10 casualties amongst the Banu al-Mustalik. And one of them was the first husband of Sayyida Juwayriya, radiallahu. So she'd become a widow. Her father, the chief, had fled. And the last thing I mentioned was the dream. 3 days before the Prophet arrived, Sayyida Juwayriya, radiallahu, had a dream that the moon came from Al-Madinah and fell into her lap. And she herself said that I wished that this meant that I was going to marry the Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it came true. So the next section is entitled, Her Marriage to the Greatest of Creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hafiz Zahabi, he said about our beloved mother, Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu, that Juwayriya radiyallahu said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me, I was a young woman of 20 years of age. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me, I was a young woman of 20 years of age. This is in Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat, volume 8, page 85 of the English translation in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz Zahabi added, rahmatullah alayhi, she was an exceedingly beautiful woman. She radiyallahu anha was an exceedingly beautiful woman. This is recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his seer. So details. She was young, prime of her youth, even though she was now a widow. And secondly, Allah the Almighty and Glorious blessed her with amazing beauty. It is important to highlight here that some of the enemies of Islam, they hold the view that our beloved messenger married sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, due to her youth and charms. But this certainly was not the case. For if this was true, then he easily could have kept her as his share of spoils instead of allotting her to Sayyidina Thabit ibn Iqis, radiallahu. Referred to Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 116 to 118, Usudul Ghaba, volume 5, page 419 to 421. So this is very important. Initially, she was a prisoner of war. So obviously, spoils of war. She was allotted to a companion, Thabit ibn Iqis. So why is that important to highlight? A'udhu billah. If the enemies of Islam said that all he was interested in was marrying beautiful women, then why did he allot her first to a companion? You understand? So look how Allah Ta'ala is protecting his beloved. Obviously, we don't have these thoughts, but we prepare for the attacks of the enemies of Islam. Hafiz Zahabi also mentioned in his Tariq al-Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at her with compassion. He never looked at the face of a free woman, but it was allowed to look at a slave woman. He saw signs of sagacity on her face and thus offered to pay for her freedom and to then marry her. So how does this work? The Messenger of Allah is protected from sin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the chosen servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why did he look at Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu? She's a prisoner of war. So obviously he could look. And when he looked at her, it was full of compassion. Her husband had been killed. Her father's fled. She's the daughter of the chief, the defeated tribe. He saw signs of sagacity. If the believer sees with the light of Allah subhanahu wa, then what about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he offered to pay her freedom and to marry her. Think about that. Not take her as what his right and possess. I will free you and I will marry you. So the details, what happened? I'll give you the reference after. Ibn Ishaq, he relates, rahmatullah alayhi, one of those taken captive that day was Sayyida Juwayriya, radiyallahu anha, daughter of Al-Harith ibn Abu Dirar. Sayyida Aisha, she relates, radiyallahu anha, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed the captives taken from Banu Al-Mustaliq, Juwayriya, radiyallahu anha, daughter of Al-Harith, was awarded to Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, radiyallahu anha, or to a cousin of his, and she wrote a muqabala deed giving herself to him. This is a contract between the slave and the master, wherein the slave agrees to pay the master a certain sum for their freedom. So let's break this down. So who's narrating? Aisha. She was in the campaign. Remember, Salama and Aisha were taken by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this campaign. So they were distributed, the prisoners. Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, who was she given to? Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, or a cousin. Aisha wasn't sure, but it was either Thabit or a cousin. Then what happened? She wrote a muqabala. Now what is that? A muqabala is when a slave makes a contract with the master to secure her freedom or his freedom. Have you understood? So for instance, if the slave has a craft, let's say he's a blacksmith, he can say, if I earn 1,000 dirhams and I give you 1,000 dirhams, would you set me free? That's the muqabala. So Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, she said that to Thabit. She said it. She was a very sweet and attractive woman. Every man who saw her fell for her. She thus came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask his help in preparing the document. Then Aisha radiallahu anha said, I swear as soon as I saw her at the door of my tent, I disliked her and recognized that he would see in her what I saw in her. So something to report. So Sayyida Aisha was very, very possessive of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't want any woman to look at him, let alone get married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when she saw Juwayriya, she goes, I knew something's happening here. When she went to him, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am Juwayriya, daughter of Al-Harith ibn Abu Dirar radiyallahu anhu, the leader of his people. You can see my plight. I have fallen to the lot of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiyallahu anhu, or to his cousin, and I have prepared a deed awarding myself to him. I have thus now come to ask your help in writing it. He said, Allah, him seeing her plight, he asked her, would you prefer something better? She replied, what would that be, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will take responsibility for your deed and then I will marry you. She replied gladly, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I agree. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The news thereupon spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had married Juwayriya, daughter of Al-Harith radiyallahu anhu. Thus all the companions said, the captives are now all the relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They all graciously released them. Subhanallah. Hence, by his marriage to her, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam released 100 of her relatives from Banu al-Mustalik. Indeed, I thus now know no woman who brought greater blessings to her people than she. Subhanallah. So let's break this down. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul alameen, so he could have helped. He could have said, I will pay that you're free. But he said to her, do you want something better? So she goes, what is that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In other words, I will free you. And after you're free, you can marry me. So she goes, of course, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was done. The money was given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Thabit. And then Juwayriya came into the sacred household. And then what happened? Look at the companions. Because how can we have prisoners of war spoils? And they all related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he goes, you're all free. And then Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha said, I know no woman who brought greater blessings to her people than she. Look at the praise. This is one of the greatest praises for Sayyida Juwayriya. How many women did Aisha know? Because I know of no woman who brought greater blessings to her people than she. Now I'll give you the reference. In Abu Dawood, number 3931, is Hassan in the chapter on freeing slaves. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 25833, 6-277, Sahih. Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 6781, or volume 4, page 26, Sahih. Tabarani, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Sirah, 3-408-9, or page 483 of the New English Translation. Hassan, Al-Isaba, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, volume 3, page 216 of the English Translation. Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir 2-262, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 83 of the English Translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 288-289 of the New English Translation. So it's a flawless report. Abu Dawud recorded it, Imam Ahmad with a Sahih chain, Hakim with a Sahih chain, and it's flawless. So there's no doubt this happened. So now, what can we take from this? First of all, how many people were freed is a number given. Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave as dowry for her the freeing of 40 of Banu al-Mustalik. This is in Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 217 of the English translation. So Hafiz Waqidi, I'll mention it again, rahmatullah alayhi, when it comes to hadiths, he is fatally weak. When it comes to battles, campaigns, he's one of the greatest in terms of detail. So this is a campaign, right? So Ibn Kathir takes from it. So you don't get confused when scholars quote Hafiz Waqidi. Is it a hadith? If it's a hadith, it's fatally weak. But if it's talking about a campaign, then it's very strong. So what did he say? Rasulullah gave us a dowry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for her, the freeing of 40. So he said that. Because part of your dowry, O Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, is I will free 40 of your tribesmen, 40 of the Banu al-Mustalik. That's part of the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was the marriage certain, or was there a possibility she was what the right hand possesses? And the answer is, the marriage certainly took place. How do we know? Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi relates, Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your wives will boast over me. They will say, Rasulullah did not marry you. You are from what the right hand possesses. To which he responded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did I not make your dowry great? Did I not free 40 of your people, O Juwayriya? In other words, why are you even thinking this? Dowry clearly shows that you're married. Freed with generosity. This is recorded in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 83 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So think about that. Juwayriya herself premeditated that. She knew people would talk. And she knew that some fruitcake might think, no. Right and possesses. So she herself, even though she knew, your wives will boast over me. Meaning, you're not a wife. You're what the right hand possesses. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Did I not make your dowry great? Did I not free 40 of your people? Dowry. Whilst Amr, Hasan narrator, rahmatullah alayhi, he had gone as far as to say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed Juwayriya radiyallahu anha and then married her. He made her dower consist of the setting free every captive of the Banu al-Mustalik. Subhanallah. He made her dowry consist of the setting free of every captive of the Banu al-Mustalik. This is in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 84 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the sahih chain of transmission. So the only ikhtilaf is, how many did he free? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One report says 40. Another report says everyone. Now, why is there conflict here? Because everybody was freed, eventually. So maybe a narrator thought the Prophet did this. And you could argue, yes, he did do this, but he was the cause. He said 40 free for the dowry, graciously, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, of course, the Sahaba followed suit. So maybe Amr rahmatullah alayh got confused there. Because Rasulullah freed them all, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the case, say that Aisha summed it up, because there's nobody greater than Juwayriya, nobody's benefited her people more than her. What gives weight to this second view are the words of our beloved mother Aisha radiyallahu anha, when she said, I have not come across any woman who proved herself to be more beneficial to her people than Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. How? For in one day, 100 families were set free because of her. 100 families in one day were set free because of her. This is recorded by Abu Dawood, volume 2, page 192. Shaykh al-Ahadith, Mawlana Idris Sahib Kandahlibi rahmatullah alayh, in his Seerat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 2, page 309 of the English translation. So no families, numbers, no contradiction. 100 families was the lot. Numbers, you can imagine how much numbers had been freed. Now think about that. She not only was the cause of their freedom, she was the cause of their deen. Think about that. Just one day prior, God knows what they were doing. Worshipping Lat, Uzza, God, you know, imagine. And because of her, and her alone, radiyallahu anha, they're now Sahaba and Sahabiyat. That's why Aisha goes, you know, what a start, right? He goes, no woman has done greater to her people good than Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. Look how touching that is. Halfway through the report, she's jealous of her. He goes, when I saw her, I couldn't believe it. But this is the greatness of Aisha. That was her possessiveness. She never denied the greatness of people. The same report, she says, what a woman. So you can see that, isn't it? But that's her possessiveness. You know, she had too much love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all the wives were like this. If you have, you know, double, triple wives, you know, this is something beyond their control. Their love for their husband, and of course, vice versa. So now the father, he fled. But the father returned, Harith. What happened? So the next section is entitled, her father's plea to free his daughter. He doesn't even know. He's fled. So he's thinking, what have I done? Left my daughter as a captive. So this is recorded in Ibn Mandah, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, Al-Isaba, volume 4, page 265, Sahih, Ibn Khayyat in his Tariq, page 80, Hassan Mursal, Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar, 2-261. Shaykh al-Ahadith, Mawlana Idris Sahib Kandahlibi rahmatullah alayh, he elucidates in Seerat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 2, page 308 of the English translation. Her father Harith appeared before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he submitted. I am the chieftain of the Banu Mustalik tribe. My daughter cannot live as a slave. I thus now implore you to set her free. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, O Harith, would it not be more appropriate if this was left to her? Whatever she decides, I am happy with this. So stop at that point. If you was the father, what would you think of that statement? Well, obviously she's going to choose me, I'm the father. Harith rushed to his daughter, Sayyidah Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, and said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the matter entirely in your hands. And the report goes, he's about to grab her hand. To this, Sayyidah Juwayriya radiyallahu anha said, Subhanallah, I choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Father's jaw dropped. Imagine, you've chose a stranger over your father. I've come to set you free from slave. You prefer to be a slave. with a stranger over your father. So what's happened to Juwayriya radiallahu anhu? Imans entered deep into her heart. Imagine one day with the Prophet, this is how much they change. In another report, there's a detail. Abu Kilaba rahmatullah alayhi said, her father went to her and said, Inna hadhar rajula qad khayyaraka fala tafdahina. Verily, this man has given you a choice. Do not disgrace me. She replied, Fa inni qad ikhtartu Rasulullah. I have chosen Rasulullah. He replied, Wallahi, fadahtina. By Allah, you have certainly disgraced us. He couldn't believe it. Because you've disgraced us. This is recorded in Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Dimishq, number 29, and all in his Arba'een, on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers. It's Sahih, but it's Mursal. Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 84 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet. So let's look at this. So apart from the greatness of Juwayriya radiallahu anhu, think out of the box. Why is this narration very important? Because we learn from it that Sayyidah Juwayriya embraced Islam from her own sweet will. She had explicitly expressed her consent to the marriage. Thus, as is but obvious, there was no coercion or force in the affair. Look at the kuffar. Because what she's supposed to say, she's a slave. Obviously, she's going to get married to Muhammad. So these are the attacks. We don't know what's happening. We don't even know what they're talking about. Who's Juwayriya? Imagine. That Orientalist Joe is quoting about Juwayriya. You don't even know who he is. And then you go, I don't understand, Joe. Where's the coercion? He goes, well, she's a slave. Obviously, she's going to grasp whatever Muhammad gives her. Oh, you'll be very selective again. Did you know that her father came? And then they realize, oh, yeah, this person knows. And then you say, no, what did the father goes, come with me. What did she say? Now, complete. I'll leave straight away. The game's up. She goes, I choose Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. Why would she want to remain a slave and leave her own family and tribe? Meaning it wasn't coercion. Think about that, right? There was no coercion involved at all. Auzubillah. We don't even think this, but we have to say this to explain to these fruitcakes. Astaghfirullah. Thus, our beloved mother, Sayyidah Juwayriya radiallahu anh, echoed the same words that the Honorable Zayd ibn al-Harith radiallahu anh, had said over 3 decades earlier to his father, who had come to take him away from being a servant of Rasulullah. Because I choose Muhammad. So let me just give you the gist. Zayd ibn al-Harith radiallahu anh, he's one of the As-Sabiqoon al-Awwalun, the first of the forerunners, the best of the best. He's the only Sahaba mentioned by name in the Quran, the Surah Ahzab. You get 30 good deeds if you mention his name with the intention of the Quran. Not even Abu Bakr has got that, radiallahu anhu. So Zayd radiallahu anhu, he mentioned in the Quran. He, to cut a long narrative short, he was a free Arab. Some bandits grabbed him, captured him. He was sold as a slave. He was young, probably in his youth. And who bought him? Hakim ibn Hizam bought him. Who's a Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu? He is the nephew of Khadija. When he bought him, he saw, like, he could see that the young, you know, he could see greatness in his youngster. So he gave Zayd as a gift to Khadija radiallahu anhu. He goes, oh, my aunt, it's a gift for you. So he was brought up in Khadija's dwelling. When the Prophet married her, he's now with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she gave him to the Prophet. Wedding gift, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, how old was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? 25. 15 years before he's allowed to proclaim. He's not allowed to proclaim. Allah Ta'ala is preventing him. But 15 years, he's not allowed to proclaim. He's with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a slave, and he's innocent. Meanwhile, the father of Zayd ibn al-Haritha and the uncle, they besides themselves with grief. What's happened to our son? Maybe he's been killed by the lions. Maybe he's, you know, this and that. So they sent search parties out looking for him. To their shock, somebody told them, Because we've seen him. Because where have you seen him? He goes, Makkah. He goes, Makkah. And he goes, who's he with? He goes, he's with Muhammad. So the father and the uncle, father, the two brothers, they went to Makkah. And they brought some wealth with them. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they saw their son. So he goes, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my son. And he's been sold innocently as a slave. He goes, I've come to release him, to pay for his release. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, I think you should ask him. Give him the decision. So Harith, quite interesting, both the same names. Juwayriya's father is called Harith. Zayd's father is called Haritha as well. So he couldn't believe it. He thought, I've saved a paki, right? He goes to his son. He goes, son, let's go. The son says, I choose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the father goes, you choose slavery over freedom. You choose a stranger of your father. And Zayd radiallahu anhu said, I've seen things in him that can now I can never leave him. And the Prophet was listening to this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took Zayd's hand, radiallahu anhu, and he goes to the father, let us all go to the Kaaba. He took Zayd to the Kaaba, called the elders, and he says, I bear witness in front of all of you that Zayd is now my son. I've taken him as my son. The father was blown away, because Banu Hashim, the greatest tribe of the Quraysh, when he saw that the Prophet had great love for his son, he was happy. Then Zayd became very happy. He said, I'm the son of Rasulullah. And that title remained even into prophethood. But then Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse saying, don't call your adopted sons except after their fathers. So his name changed again to Zayd ibn al-Haritha. And he grieved. Imagine. Normally if your name goes back to your father, you're going to get happy. He's grieving. When he grieved, Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed a verse where he mentioned his name. As if to say, don't worry, I'll give you something better than that title. Zayd, and it's in Surah Ahzab, when Zayd divorced his wife, Zaynab bin Jahsh, he was the only one who married the mother of the believer, and he was still alive when the Prophet married her. Think about that. All the beloved mothers, their husbands were killed. None of them were alive when the Prophet married. The only one who has the honor of being alive whilst the Prophet has married, the wife was Zayd ibn al-Haritha. He said this 30 years ago. And the ulama said, look at these golden words in Islam. I choose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 30 years later, Juwayriya said the same. Father came, same name. Because interesting, is that a coincidence? Because come on. And look what the father says, don't disgrace me. Because he knew his daughter. He goes, don't you disgrace me. And what did she say? فَإِنِّي قَدِخْتَرْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ I have chosen Rasulullah. What did the father say? وَاللَّهِ فَدَّحْتِنَا By Allah, you have certainly disgraced us. So, alhamdulillah, this again shows the great purity of these noble souls. A mighty lesson for all those who profess to proclaim the Iman. Why? Because our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of you truly believes until you love me and my family more than yourself and your family. So we narrate the hadith, mashallah, Tabarani. But have you got any life? You got to be honest. So he goes, the Prophet, I've got it in my life. I love him more than myself. What about his family? And you got to be honest. You say, work in progress. Because what do you mean, work in progress? And he goes, I don't even know who they are. No point me coming out a wet one, right? I love my mothers. Who are they? Name them. Aisha, mashallah, who else? Hafsa, who else? Khadija, who else? Brother, it's a bit late, innit? I'll come back to that. He doesn't know. Doesn't know his own mother. Imagine if somebody goes to you, this person doesn't know his mother's name. Imagine what you say to that person. Well, he can't take his mother's name. No, he doesn't know his mother's name. Imagine your biological mother. You don't know her name. Wouldn't you be offended by that? I think, oh, sorry, you won't be impressed with his salat. You can get so yourself, ah, brother. Right? You don't even know your mother. Astaghfirullah. So note, the only way is to study their lives. And don't forget, these are guaranteed paradise. Our biological mothers aren't. Right? We hope they are. We pray for that. But these are far greater than our mothers. Because these are the mothers of all the believers. Think about that. How many sons does Juwayriya have? Billions and billions. Think about that. How many sons does your mother have? My mother, Rahmatullah Alayha, she had 5. Big difference, isn't it? Think about that. You know, subhanAllah. So note again, this is part of building our love for our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hopefully through this, not our deeds, we will secure the pleasure and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all I mentioned today was basically now talking about how Juwayriya radiallahu anha entered the sacred household. And look how beautiful the lessons, how many lessons we take when going through the lives of our dear mothers radiallahu ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل من الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم